Welcome to Love You Most. I feel like this episode is one that a lot of people need, especially in the new year. I went through a really hard breakup whenever I was in like my early college years before Brady and I like got together and stuff. And I wish that I had this episode then because it was so hard to get through. And obviously by the title, you guys can tell we are talking about how to get over a breakup today. And I just think it's like so needed. So let's just get into some of the reviews that you guys left before we like get into the like real deep part of the episode. You guys left so many reviews and I feel so grateful that you guys left them just because I was literally asking for you guys to leave reviews last episode and then you guys just, you showed up and you showed out. So if you guys hear licking in the background, I am so sorry. That just means that Bane is again hanging out with me today. He's actually really been wanting to just like be next to me during pretty much every episode, which is fine with me. I enjoy just like being near him. But you guys left a little message on the episode that says things you should never feel guilty for. And one of you guys said, amazing topic, and that was by Key. And then another friendship said, I'm looking through all of them. You guys left so many. Oh my gosh. One of you guys said, I like this episode a lot as it was a much needed reminder to rest regularly and its importance. It's a work in progress for me personally. That was from Hannah. I feel that. Like, I feel that there's something that is like so healing about relaxation, but also it feels like it's wrong. And so I think that reminders for rest is really important. And then from Nat Duvall 95, you said, I love this episode and the whole podcast. It's the support I wish I had in friendship. I'm constantly finding myself feeling guilty for doing what I actually want to do and still working on it. I'm not sure if I read that last episode or not, because it says that was from 6 days ago, but they're all underneath like the same little like section. And then there's even more. You guys left more messages on other episodes. I think this is the most like reviews that you guys have left on the episode Signs You Might Need to Break Up. Oh no, I hadn't read that message because that was actually one of the ones I like screenshot. I try to screenshot them so I don't lose them if I like read them before I'm recording. And one of you guys said on the Things You Should Never Feel Guilty For episode, you said, per usual, I loved it. Shaughnessy saw authentic and well-spoken. I love the content she has to share in her personality. And I think that that is it on Spotify. I'm going to see if you guys left any reviews on Apple Podcasts. I literally could not even think of what I was trying to say. No reviews there, but thank you guys so much for leaving those reviews. That's how like people find this podcast, but also the little Q&A messages just really like resonate with me because it's nice to know that people are actually listening on the other end. So thank you for that. Let's get into the episode. We're going to have a little bookish chat at the end, and then we're going to go through some of your questions. You guys left a lot of questions. And the first way to get over a breakup is to sit with your feelings. And I feel like a lot of people will tell you this whenever you get like dumped or whether you, if you break up with someone, because people will be like, hey, you need to feel all your feelings and like you need to really sit with yourself. And I think that that looks different for everyone. So for me, like whenever I was in like a really hard relationship and I ended up breaking up with my boyfriend at the time, I think I tried to just like keep myself super busy so that I wouldn't feel my feelings. And I don't think it's bad to be busy, but I do think it is bad to like push your feelings aside and never feel them. And I think I always just like do that as a coping mechanism whenever I'm just feeling sad in general. And so that's something that first and foremost, you should really sit with your feelings. And it doesn't have to be for like longer than 24 hours. It doesn't have to be for 3-4 weeks or 5 months or whatever, but long enough for you to really recognize the pain you went through and for you to just kind of like, I don't know, work through the healing process of your own heart. And I think it's easy to like shove that away and be like, you know what? I don't want to feel that. I don't want to cry. I don't want to do an X, Y, and Z. But everyone is different. So I think like everyone will look different whenever they are like healing from a breakup. But that for me is something that really helps. And another way to get over a breakup is to make a list of why they weren't the right person for you, so you can stop romanticizing the relationship. That is a big one, like a big, big one, because anytime that you get out of a relationship, the first thing you start to think of is like all the good things about that person. But obviously, if you are broken up, like there's a reason you're not together, whether they dumped you or you dumped them, there's something that is not meant to be, or at least not meant to be in that moment. And it's so easy for us to be like, oh my gosh, everything was perfect and they were amazing. And I remember whenever I was, I guess I can just tell like a mini story of the person that I was with. So in high school, I didn't really like date. Like I dated a guy for like 3 months. And that was like my first real boyfriend. And there was this other guy after I broke up with that like other person. Really, I was dumped. So I mean, I would say broke up, but it wasn't really my choice. I was like 16. And then when I was like 17, like end of the year, there was this guy I like started to have feelings for, but we'd been like friends our whole lives. And we weren't like super close or anything, but we just kind of hung in the same circle. So we started like being interested in each other, but we both knew we were going to go to college. And so we were like, well, this probably isn't like the smartest decision because we're going to go off to school. And I remember we were like, let's just like not be together. But during that time, we kind of acted like we were together, but we didn't really have like the title of being together. And so this dude just like, he just did his own thing. He was kind of like bopping around. Like, I think I don't know if I even shared with you guys, but there was one time we were like in the car. He like dropped his phone and he was like texting this girl and telling her that like he loved her and stuff while I was like in the car. And I remember like later on being like, well, I can't really get mad about it because we're not together. That's the first red flag, because the way someone treats you when they're not with you, whether they're a friend, whether they're just like kind of into you, but you're not dating, the way that they treat you then is such a good indicator of how they will treat you when they're actually with you. Because just because you don't have a title on something doesn't mean you shouldn't have respect from them and they shouldn't be treating you with love or like you're an actual, like, I don't know, human being with feelings. So that was my first red flag. But I was like, you know what? We're not together. Like, just I had my blindfolds on. Like, I wasn't really paying attention to like all the signs. And then I go off to college and he like went off to the military. And while we were like apart, we were like, you know what? Let's give it a shot. And I don't think that like, I think that long distance can work for people. Like my sister and her husband, they've been together for as long as like Brady and I've been together, like 10 or 11 years or 12 or something like that. And they did long distance for almost the majority of their relationship because she like went to school in Mississippi and he went there too. And that's where they met. But she graduated in 3 years. So she like left before him and she ended up going to New York City and was like dancing there because like that's like what she wants to do or wanted to do at the time. And now it's so cool like looking at her because she literally has her dream career. But anyway, so they like did long distance from like New York to Mississippi for such a long time, for 2 years there. And then she like moved to another state and they did long distance there. And then she ended up moving to like New Orleans and that's where he moved. And so that's where they've like settled. But for a long time, they did long distance. So I'm saying that because I'm not saying that long distance can't work, but I'm saying that you have to have like the right partner. And so we did long distance and I remember like texting him all the time and like calling and like things were fine. And like I spent my last dime to like go out there and visit him and see him like graduate and stuff. And I was just like, oh, this is so great. Like, this is amazing. Yeah, it was not amazing. Come to find out later that he was like talking to this girl. And I found out, I think through like Facebook, she was like posting stuff on there and he was like tagging her in it. And I'm like, this is like weird. It's giving off weird vibes. But, you know, and the thing is, don't ever like shirk how you feel. Like, don't ever gaslight like yourself. Like, if you're thinking like, oh, this is off, like, it's probably off. Like, you're not crazy, you're not psycho. Like, there's something within you that knows like, hey, like, I got my little antennas up, my little receptors, like something's wrong, something's going off. And I don't know. Anyway, so I was like not really trusting myself because I felt like there was something off about the way that they would like communicate on the internet. And then every time that I would like call or text, they would be like hanging out. So I'm like, this is very weird, weird vibes, whatever. They're in a group setting, so like I'm not going to be quote unquote crazy. And then I think it all came to a head because she like, I think, posted something on Facebook or something. This is literally forever ago. This is like 2010. And she posted something on Facebook, and I think he like commented, and then she commented something back that seemed kind of like flirty. And I remember being like, oh, this is like super weird. Like, I don't like this vibe. And then I think, I can't remember how this ended up happening, but she ended up calling me and was like, this is my man. He's mine. Like, stop like calling, like stop texting him. Like, he's mine. So in my head, I'm like, oh, what's going on? Like, do you have another girlfriend there? And he's like, oh no, she's crazy. Like, she's just like, da da da. Like, men, I'm not gonna say men because all men are not like this, but the way that he was trying to like gaslight me and pit me against this other person who probably thought that she was like his literal girlfriend and I was like coming between them or something, it was weird. And I remember like a day before he like changed his relationship status to like, it's complicated. And I was like, that's weird because we're like literally dating. So anyway, fast forward, they end up having a child together. And by that time we'd broken up because I was like, this is just giving shady vibes. But I remember when we broke up, he was like, okay, whatever. Like, you're breaking up with me because like of what? Like, you think that I'm like messing with this girl, and like, I'm not. And I'm like, it's kind of all leading to that. Like, you're out of a whole country, and like, it's like, she's calling me. It's like giving off weird vibes. And you guys are still hanging out. So like, if you're upset, like, why are you like still hanging out with her? And I remember he called me and was like, please take me back. Like, I'm like really upset or whatever. And I just remember like crying and being like, I can't do this. Like, I already told you I'm done. And then like, he hung up, and then he called me back and was like cursing at me and was like, you know, you deserve this. And like, we good, like, I'm glad we broke up, like, because I don't want to be together anyway. And then he would hang up and then call me back and be the exact opposite, like, no, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have said that, like, please take me back, blah blah blah. And I remember in that moment like being so sad because like, he's calling me stupid and like saying all this stuff. And fast forward, when I'm trying to heal from this breakup, I was not thinking about those moments where he's like calling me crazy, or when he's like talking to this other girl, or when he's like doing all these wild things. You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about like all the sweet things he's done to like make it like this relationship is so perfect, and looking back on these old pictures of us and making the relationship something that literally wasn't even like at all. Like, I mean, of course the moments that were special were that in the moment, but if you look at the relationship overall, like, I think it's a lot easier for you to detach yourself from it. So making a list of why they weren't the right person, or making a list of the things that just like were not good in that relationship and why like you don't mesh, I think is so important. And that was really a long roundabout way of me saying that, like, take off the blinders, take off the blindfolds. They're not a perfect person and neither are you, but there are definitely things in that relationship that like were not good. And I think when you make a list of them, it's a lot easier to see them versus if you're just like trying to think in your head, like, oh, what was bad about their, like, their relationship? It's like not as easy to think of it when you're not like actively writing it down. Another way to get over a breakup is to remind yourself that you are loved, and you are so, so loved outside of the person that you were with, outside of the memories you have with them, outside of what they told you that you are or are not. You are loved. And I think whenever you go through a breakup, the first thing you think is like, I'm by myself, I'm alone, I don't have anyone. But look around you. You have family and friends. You have people who are probably waiting to like wrap their arms around you and show you so much support and love. And maybe they're people that you haven't really given the time of day to. It can be as small as like a niece or a nephew or a coworker or a parent, a cousin. And I think sometimes that love shows up for us in ways that we like wouldn't really expect. And it might be different than we are like wanting. Like, I feel like after a breakup, it's just hard to navigate in general, but like no one ever really knows what to say or what to do. But I think whenever we just like remind ourselves that we are actually loved and so loved that we don't even need that person in our life to give us that love, because the love from our community and the people around us is enough. I think that that is just like something that'll really help us to be very grounded. And another way to get over a breakup is to commit to learning more about yourself by going on solo dates. And I am such a proponent of solo dates. And I know every time I talk about solo dates, you're probably rolling your eyes. But I didn't start going on solo dates until maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm actually going on a solo trip really soon, which is very nerve-wracking because I've done solo trips in the past, but I haven't really done one where I'm like not meeting up with anybody and just going for the vibes. Usually I'll like meet up with a friend or we'll like stay somewhere together, and like that's not happening this time. So it's definitely nerve-wracking, but don't start out with a trip. Like maybe start out with something that's very like small, like I don't know, going out in your backyard and like bringing some strawberries and bringing some crackers and cheese and just like sitting out there and romanticizing the moment by yourself. Because when you start committing to learning about what you like, your own desires, and learning about yourself and loving yourself, and that kind of goes into the next one, which is the next way to get over a breakup is to learn to love yourself. When you start doing that, you realize you don't need that person. And I think one of the hardest things about a breakup is you feel like you're losing a piece of yourself, and you feel like you can't go on without them because life isn't going to be the same and it's not going to be as good. And like they have all these memories and they are like your anchor, and they're like what is, you know, the air that you breathe. But that's not true. You were fine before them and you're fine after them. And maybe you weren't fine before them. Maybe you were really struggling before them, and maybe they gave you the confidence to try new things or feel less lonely or whatever. But I truly think that if you can learn to love yourself and commit to like really learning about yourself and your desires, that whenever that next partner comes along, I feel like you'll be better off because you won't be relying on them for happiness and joy and for all the things that like can put so much pressure on a relationship. You'll just be like, they'll be there for the vibes. Like they'll be there to show you love. But like, if they don't, then for one, see ya. But two, if they don't, then like you can show that to yourself. And I just think that it builds such a healthier like relationship in the long run. And I look at Brady and I and like our relationship now, and like from when we first started dating to now. And when we first started dating, we were not the best. And I think I've been pretty like vocal about this, but like probably not as much because there isn't really like a platform that I talk about like relationship stuff on very often. But I mean, we're 11 years, almost 12 years in. And when we first started dating, we had such like different views of what our relationship should look like because he came from a small town. I came from this toxic relationship where like literally if I would go to a party and my ex was there, like, and at the time we were like in that talking, not dating stage, but like kind of like whatever we were. If I would go there, he would literally leave, or he would text me and be like, hey, where are you going tonight? And I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go here. And he'd be like, okay, like I'm going to go this other place because you're going there. Like he did not want to be around me. And now I know why. Like I'm very well aware, because it's like you wanted to, you know, do your own thing, and you wanted to like probably bring other girls back or like whatever. But when you go from an unhealthy relationship and you feel like those things are normal, and then you go to a healthy relationship and you like try to figure out like how to navigate through that, it feels so freaking weird. And so being with Brady, being with someone who's like, hey, I do want to like go to the same parties, and hey, I do want to hang out like multiple times a week, and hey, I do want to like text and like just talk to each other and be in each other's presence, I was like, huh? Like, this is weird. Like, why do you like hang out with me so much? And I think that that was like something that probably sounds so weird, but you bring so much like negativity from a breakup and so much like, for lack of a better word, trauma into a new relationship that it can just be really hard to build a new foundation with someone new. And so I think when you start like committing to learning about yourself, working on yourself, learning to love yourself. And I don't even want to say working on yourself, because I think that that can be overdone. Like we can feel like we need to be a project when we're not. But when you just commit to loving yourself, that the basis alone is like the bar is on the floor. Like just learning to love yourself, I think that is huge and will help you in your next relationship. But will also, if you never get into another relationship, you will be okay. And you'll learn that like you are enough without a partner. And I think that that is huge. And another way to get over a breakup is to spend more time with friends and family. This kind of goes back to just like leaning on your community. I think that that is one of the ways that you can easily get over a breakup, because you will just be so full of love that you just won't feel that void. And I do think that we should feel that void like on our own first, but I think the easier way is to fill it with people who are surrounding us, like friends and family. And maybe you don't have a ton of close friends, and I think that that's pretty normal too. Lean on your family. Like, just lean on a therapist. Like, lean on some external person who can be there for you, because I think it just helps us feel a little less alone. And another way to get over a breakup is to try something new. And this also goes into another little like way to get over a breakup, which is to break your routine and do something fun outside of the house each day. And these are kind of like similar but different. Trying something new, I think, is so imperative for making your life not feel monotonous and boring. And it doesn't even have to be anything crazy. You could try a new meal. You could try going to a new park to walk at. You could try listening to a new podcast. Just like adding in unique things throughout the week that will like make it feel a little bit different, I think, is really fun. And it just makes life feel worthwhile. And breaking your routine and trying something fun outside of the house, I think, is important, because it helps you realize that like the world is your oyster. Like, go and paint ceramics. Like, I'm literally going to paint ceramics this week with my mom. And I was telling her, I was like, hey, do you want to like hang out at the house, or do you want to like go and do something? She's like, oh, we should go do something. I'm like, cool. And I started thinking, like, what are the things I haven't done in a long time? And that was one of the things. I'm like, I have not painted ceramics in a long time. And I loved it when I did it last, which was literally like almost a year ago. I kid you not. But there's just things I think that we put on the back burner, like painting outside or doing puzzles or going to a new brewery or going to like go to freaking Shields and get on the Ferris wheel. Like, just like the most random things that like you might see in like a romance movie or something. Go and do those, but just do them by yourself. Like, I think that that is just such a fun way to break up like the boringness of life. And the last thing that will help you get over a breakup is to not talk to the person you broke up with and give yourself time to heal. Now, I'm going to go back to my little story hour, because in this relationship, and if you guys want more like relationship like chats, let me know, because I've had some very like just not the best relationships, and I feel like it's definitely made me into who I am. But it also is something that I think can be so helpful if someone has went through a relationship where you feel like this person's the one, or everything's perfect, I can't believe that they broke up with me. And whenever I dated my first boyfriend when I was 16, I remember whenever he broke up with me, he broke up with me over text when we were supposed to hang out. Like, the night we were supposed to hang out, we were supposed to go to like a bonfire, and he broke up with me over text, which I still am like, okay, come on. Granted, we were 16, so I'll give you some leeway because we were younger, but like, did your parents not give you home training? Because come on, by text when we were literally supposed to hang out. So I didn't end up going to this bonfire, obviously, because he was like texting me and breaking up with me. And I guess he like told all of our friends that we were like meeting up with. And I think more like a lot of them were like closer to him than to me. So it was like kind of a weird situation, but they were all texting me and they're like, are you okay? Like, I just heard that he dumped you. I'm like, cool. Like, I'm definitely not going to this bonfire because everyone's there. But I remember after that ended, I kept wanting to like text him and be like, why? Like, why? What was it about me? What did I do wrong? Why am I not enough? Like, all of these things. And I remember he would be like, oh, well, you know, it just didn't work out. We're just not a good fit. And then I think finally, like on my third time, like asking just in a, like a roundabout way, like, because I would ask, but kind of ask differently each time. The third time he was like, you just are trying to be with me so you can make yourself look better. Like, you aren't like a good person to date, and you want people to think that you're a good person, and so you're trying to date a good person. Now, as an adult, as a 31-year-old woman, I know that that's not the case. I was and am an incredible human, just as we all are in our own way. And I was honestly a very good kid. Like, I never like really did anything that I wasn't supposed to do. I was just very like conscious of my parents' rules, and they were pretty strict and stuff. But I think that when you're constantly like reaching out to that person to get some kind of validation, the only thing you're going to get is hurt. You're going to get hurt because either one, they're going to like be like, oh, maybe we should try again. Like, I still do care about you. And then you're still going to have all those feelings in your mind. Like, okay, well, they broke up with me 4 weeks ago, or they broke up with me 2 weeks ago. They broke up with me yesterday. So like, why do they want to try again? So like, you're going to get hurt in that way where like, even if you get what you want, which is probably getting back together if they like break up with you, you're not really getting what you want because the relationship will never be the same. And then on the opposite end, if you talk to them and you try to quote unquote get answers and they tell you like, hey, I dumped you because like you suck, like that's not true. Like that's their own perspective. And so I just think that sometimes we need to just cut our losses and like let that person just truly go and like heal. And I think one of the best ways to do that is just to cut off all communication. And whether you broke up with them or they broke up with you, I think that it's important. And not to say that you can't be friends in the future, but I think just like right off the bat, it's just like very, very healing for you to have that space and probably healing for them as well. Now let's get into the Q&A segment. This is like one of my favorite segments because I mean, I just feel so connected to you guys. Like you will ask the most like random questions and like we just talk about them and it's cool. So I always answer every question that you guys have and I love that you guys are actually submitting more questions. So yeah, let's get into these. We have a good bunch here. First question says, how did you start your fitness journey and how do you maintain it and keep it up? I really started it in college. It was probably towards the end of college when we were getting ready to like move. And I started there because I was just like, I need some kind of movement. I was taking classes, but I was also like working at the time and I was working at like a where I sat at a desk and I just was like, this isn't working for me. Like I'm not getting enough movement in. I think by that time I had my car, whereas before that I didn't have a car and I would walk to and from class and to and from work and stuff. And at this point I was like sitting a lot of the time. So I was like, I need to get some kind of movement in. And that's where it started, but I've never liked working out. And then I moved to Springfield with my husband. And once we got here, I was like, I need to find a gym. So I went to like LA Fitness, which is just like a big gym that like probably most areas have. I think the new name is actually like Eastboarder now, which is like so weird to me. But anyway, neither here nor there. I went there and I didn't really know what to do. So one of my friends sent me like this list of things to do, but I just literally was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And they were like, well, you can like Google all these workouts on YouTube. So I was like, okay, cool. So I just did the same workouts over and over and over pretty much every week. And I got kind of bored of that after like a few months and I wasn't really feeling like I was getting faster or stronger or anything. And one of my like mutual, I wouldn't say friends because like we don't like hang out or anything, but like we ran in mutual like groups in high school. They were like, hey, I'm a coach at this gym. You should come. And I think they posted something on like Instagram or something like that. And I was like, okay, I'll go and try it out. And I went when they were coaching. I was like, ooh, this is fun. And I go to like a CrossFit hybrid type gym. They have like workouts that are super similar to CrossFit workouts, but they're longer, which I really enjoy. So you really like push your endurance. And I just like love the model. Like I love having a coach that's there to like tell you like, hey, fix your form, or hey, you've got this, keep going. And like, it's nice to have someone there when you don't know what you're doing. And I picked up a bar the very first time in this gym. I've been going for like 3 years now. And so that's how I started. And maintaining it has been easy because I feel like I'm friends with like people in this gym. We actually have a group chat and we're like constantly like just messaging random things back and forth. And I don't know. I think when you find a community that feels like friend, like that, the group feels like a group of friends versus just like going to do something that you hate, I think it makes working out and like fitness just so much more fun. And it's also nice when you can like kind of have a little fun, healthy competition. Like sometimes we'll do like these little short runs. They're like really just short sprints. And I remember one time, it was a couple weeks ago, we were doing it and there were a couple people who were like kind of battling it out. And we're like, okay, ready, set, go. And then when the timer would go off, we would just like speed down the way and like try to beat each other. And it's just fun. It kind of feels like you're being a kid again. And like, even though you're working out, I don't know. So finding a community has been huge for me to make, like, maintain my fitness journey. And I also look at it as something that is going to be forever, not something that's like short. I want it to be sustainable. So I started working out, I think it was 2 days a week when I wasn't going to this gym and I was like just starting. And then I added in 3 days a week and now I go 4 days a week. So just do what works best for you. You also asked, what is my favorite quote? I literally don't have one. Like, when people ask, like, what's your favorite quote, or like the most inspiring thing anyone's ever said, like that kind of thing, I literally, my brain just goes blank. So I don't have one. And I don't want to make up one because I don't have one. You also asked, how are you doing mentally, emotionally? And you said, I hope that isn't too personal. I'm doing okay. I am definitely doing better than I was, but I still am really struggling with like grief. And I think I shared with you guys that my mom is moving, which has been really hard for me because like we moved back to this area to be close to family. Obviously we moved for like work and stuff too. Like my husband was opening his office and the big part of our move was moving for family. And obviously my dad's gone. And my mom, she's here, but like it's hard for her to be here when he's not here. And so she's planning on moving somewhere warmer. And my younger brother, he's also moving because he moved back to this area to help my dad. But at the time, he was in the military in like Korea and he just like wants to get back to like traveling and like things like that. So it's just a very sad transitional time. And I think in any point of transition, it can just be hard because things are changing. And I'm trying to remind myself often that like change is okay. Change is good. Change does not necessarily mean bad. It doesn't, just because they're moving doesn't mean I'm gonna like be disconnected from them. It's just different. Just like when I went off to college and they stayed here, like I still love them just as much as I do. And like, or I still love them as much as I did before I left. And it just was a different, like, I don't know, we were navigating something different with me moving. So it'll be the same with them. So I'm good. Just that's been a hard transition. You also asked, if you could sit and have coffee with anyone well known, who would it be? I would probably sit with like an author. I don't know who, like off the top of my head, but like a romance author, I think I would want to learn their process from like when they first decided to write a book and like where they got their inspiration. And you also asked, if you had the attention of the whole world for 5 minutes, what would you say? I think the thing I would say is that you are loved and you are valuable. I think it's so easy for us to forget that like someone loves us. And even if you feel like someone doesn't, they do. Like, even if you don't have any friends, if you're not close to your family, I can guarantee that there's someone who would be so like just impacted if you were gone. And I think that really honed in like deep for me when my dad passed, because my dad lived a very regular life, like very regular life. He like worked at a power plant. He grew up and didn't have a lot of money. And he started working when he was like 10. He would shine people's shoes. And then he would work as a janitor when he was like 14. And then his dad passed on like their cleaning business to him. So he was doing that when he was like 16. And then he ended up going off to college and he got his bachelor's degree. And then he got his master's while we were like kids. I remember him like sitting over the laptop and just like typing away and doing homework and stuff, like while all of us kids are like running around. And I just genuinely don't even know how he did it. And he just wanted to have a better life for himself, for us. So he's doing all these things while he's working like days. And then he would work a week shift where he's working afternoons, and he would work a week shift where he's working overnights. And it was wild that at his funeral, he had friends that he hadn't seen in like 20, 30 years. I remember a group of his golfer friends came up and they were like, hey, we used to play golf with your dad, but he stopped golfing like years ago because he just was like a family man. He wanted to be home with the kids when he was off work. And he was like, you know, we still like to go out and have fun, but like, you know, your dad wanted to be home. We just kind of laughed about that. And then he had Boy Scout troop leaders and Boy Scouts come because my dad was a troop leader literally in like the early 2000s. Like that wasn't even like recent, because my dad, he had lost all of his mobility except for like the use of his arms, but he was in a wheelchair. He needed to have someone like feed him and like all those things. His brain, you know, was still very sharp, but his body just wasn't as like quick as it used to be. And that was really because he like needed a kidney and he was in kidney failure. So, you know, I just looked at all the people around at the funeral, and it was wild that there were people who he hadn't seen in years, and when we saw them, it was like we just like were talking to them just yesterday. And that just goes to show that the people who come in and out of your life are impacted by your life being in theirs. And I wish that I could just tell just the world that, because it's so easy to feel like, oh, I'm living a boring life. I'm not doing anything fun. I'm not doing all these crazy trips or meeting all these cool people. Like, I'm just going to work and coming back home. But I promise you that that person you're talking to when you're at work, or the person you talk to whenever you grab your mail, or your neighbors, or when you go on that walk, or you take your dog to the dog park, or just all those random interactions that you have frequently, someone will be deeply impacted by your life just by you being like in existence. So that's something that I wish I could share just with the world. You also said, can you usually tell a really good read by the cover? And that was a very good question. I usually cannot. I judge books by their cover, but I really shouldn't, because a lot of the time the covers are not a dead giveaway to like what is actually a good book. And you also said, how do you find the strength to read when you're not feeling well, audiobooks, or just take a break? I never like don't have the desire to read. Like, there's never a time where I don't want to be reading. I do think if I'm like sick, I just like, I don't know, read slowly. Like, there's just never really a time where I like don't want to read. And you also asked, can you do a winter bucket list like the autumn one that I did? That is such a great idea, and I love that. So yes, I will definitely do that. We'll maybe do a little episode on a winter bucket list of fun things to do, and you guys can like write down all the ideas. And you also asked, do you ever worry about privacy online? I want to share more on social media, but I'm scared. Yes, I definitely worry about that. I never share a location when I'm actually in that location. So like if I'm tagging something like a park, or I'm tagging a place I've been, I never am doing it while I'm actually there. I didn't really share this like last summer, but I actually had someone who was kind of like stalking my page, and it was so scary. And I remember they would just like bombard my Instagram and my YouTube and just like all the things in the comments, and they would be like, she's a terrible person, she's this, she's that. And it had nothing to do with me. This person was like mad at one of my friends, but they went to my friend's Instagram, and like all the pictures they were tagged in, they just went to their friends and started like blowing them up. But I remember being like so fearful of this person, and they would like comment things that were not true, but they were close enough to real life that someone could potentially believe it, which is just like a scary thing. And so there are wild people out in the world, and I definitely am fearful of those people, but I can never let fear stop me from doing something that I want to do, just because, I mean, there are scary things everywhere, like flying on a plane and driving in a car and doing all of these things that we do on a regular basis. But I think that we've just become normalized to it. So I try not to let like the fear of like, I don't know, people who are not like maybe in the most sound mind just like freak me out so much that I don't want to share with you guys. And you also asked tips for starting a YouTube channel. It's my 2024 goal. People ask me this all the time. I'm going to give you the best tip I can give you. Just start. That's it. That's it. There's you don't need to like overthink it. You don't need to be like, oh, well, I don't have a camera, I don't have this, I don't have that, and like, I don't know if I have time, will people like it? Just start. If that's something you want to do, just start. And I think that the, like, we get so paralyzed for just the thought of creating or doing something different that I think it can paralyze us from actually doing the thing. Like, I think about reading, and people will be like, I want to get back into reading, how do I get back into reading? Pick up a book. Just start. Pick up the book and start reading it. If you don't like it, put it down, read another book. I think we get so paralyzed by just like the thought of doing something where we're like, ah, it has to be perfect when I do it. It has to be the perfect book. I have to pick up the book that I'm going to like fall in love with. Or if I start my channel, it has to be the perfect video. It has to be perfectly edited. I remember I started my channel. You can go back and look at my old videos. My first video is literally me. I was giving like wedding tips, and that's how I started my channel. Fun fact, I started it because I was trying to plan my wedding, and I couldn't find enough videos that had like good tips for planning a wedding. So I was like, no one really tells you this stuff, so I'm just gonna like make a video myself. Tips are actually still valid. They're still good, but the like quality is not like amazing. And that's how I started it. And then people started like commenting and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like people are commenting back and forth. This is fun. And I just remember like really enjoying that. But I didn't overthink it because I was just doing it because I was like, somebody needs to know this. And I don't know how else to like share it. And I feel like when we think about like sharing on the internet or starting something new, like it's scary because we're like, well, what if people don't like it? Or, you know, what if like they make fun of me? Like, who cares? Like literally who cares? If they're gonna make fun of you, there's something wrong with them. Like there's not something right with like making fun of someone for doing something new. If like that's their prerogative, then that's like on them. Like they can do that. And like, that's just not cool. Like that's weird. So tips for starting, just start. Pick up your camera and just start taking videos. And that's it. I used my cell phone for probably 2 years on YouTube, and I edited in iMovie, which is like a free app on your iPhone, and it was great. So yeah, the next question you asked was favorite place to shop. Your winter outfits are always so cute. Thank you. I don't even really know. I've really been into color lately, so I've been really loving Grey Bandit because they have a lot of colorful things. I love shopping at Aerie, American Eagle. I think that those are probably my top ones, but I'm sure there's something that I'm missing. And you asked how to set goals without it feeling overwhelming. Start small. Start very, very small. Like if you want to work out more, then just make a goal to go to the gym once a week. Because the problem, I think, with setting goals is we set these like lofty goals that are literally not like reasonable. Like we'll go from not working out at all to being like, I want to work out 6 days a week, or reading. We'll be like, I haven't read in 6 years and I'm going to read 20 books a month. Like, no, you're not. Like, you're literally not. So start with a goal of like, I'm going to read one chapter a month. Something so small, but small enough where it's achievable. You can get excited. You can feel like accomplished. You can get in the habit of doing it. Or you could even say like, I want to read for 2 minutes every night, or 2 minutes, you know, once a week. Something so small, it's like you would literally be just like, it's impossible for you not to do it. And I think that like having those small goals and those achievable goals, you can build on that over time. And it makes it a lot easier because you're already in the habit. And the last question you asked was, will you be attending Steamy Lit Con this year? I just found out about this conference. I don't know. I've thought about it, but part of me is like, will I like it? Like, I'm not a big conference girl. Like, I don't really like sitting around and like listening to people talk for hours. It just doesn't sound like fun to me. And if you're like not sure what Steamy Lit is, it's like a conference for romance readers where like a bunch of authors come in, and it looks fun. But it's like $300, and I just am like, I don't know. Will I like it? Like, will I be bored? I used to work in healthcare, and I worked with families who had neurodivergent children. So they would go to camp, and it would be camp for like other children who are also neurodivergent, and they could like make friends and stuff. And I remember they would have like breakout sessions, and they would have like these different sessions that were honestly kind of cool because I was like working, like I was getting paid to go. And I was also like learning about my field, which was like really nice to just like apply to my job. Like I was learning like behavioral things and how to like build a better relationship and like all those things. But if I'm going and we're just like talking about books, and not even talking about books, like we're talking about like, I don't know. I would have to like, I wish I could get like a mini like retreat, like a one day thing that's like $10 or something, just so I can see what it's like. Like, I just don't have any concept of if it's fun or not. So if you've been, let me know. I just kind of want to know if it's like actually fun or if it's just like not. And let's get into our bookish segment. I think that's a perfect segue. I just shared that I finished the year reading 170 books, which is wild to me. Like, I was just like, how did I read this many books? I really don't, like, did I have a life? I don't know. But my goal for this year and like my bookish goals are, I really want to read more books by Black authors, but books that like aren't hyped up a lot. So I bought some of those books to add to my shelf. And I just like, I don't know. I think it's cool that we have Book Talk and Bookstagram and BookTube, and like we can talk about books all on the internet. But like, I think that we, well, I can't say we, but I really want to get back to the joy of just like looking through a bookstore, just like randomly picking up a book, not checking on Goodreads to see if people like it, not like hearing from other people whether it's good or bad. I just want to pick up a book that like no one's talked about, read the back. If I like it, just read it. And I think that that's so rare because like there's so much discussion around books. Like people are like, oh, have you read this book? It's so good. It's like not good. It's whatever. It's this and that. And I'm very heavily influenced by like what my friends like or don't like. So that's one goal. And then I have like a reading goal of 175 because I read 170 this year. So I'm just going to like hopefully read like five more. We'll see. Maybe it'll go down to 100 again because it was 100 this year. I don't know. But yeah, that's a goal. And then another bookish goal, I think, is to really try to like read a lot of the books that I own. I still will forever be a book shopper. Like I love shopping for books, just like the fun. I feel like there's like fun in reading and there's fun in buying the books too. But I really want to read a lot of the books that I own because I have so many good ones. So that's another bookish goal. And then I also, for my last little bookish goal, is I want to travel to different cities to go and go to different bookstores, which probably doesn't like really support like the read your own books in your bookshelf like thing because they're two total opposite like I don't know interests, but I think that they would both be fun, so we're gonna add them in there. And those are the things that I like want to do, but I don't really hold myself to any like crazy standard. I try to like be as goal free as possible because I think sometimes when we add too many goals or like things that we want to do, it can like make us feel very pressured to meet those things. And I think that if we just like, I don't know, try to do the best we can, like that's good enough. Like we only live one life. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It was very, very, very chatty. And sometimes I forget, like you can literally talk as long as you want. Like when I was talking about like the tips for how to get over a breakup, I kept thinking like, oh, I need to like hurry up. But it's like, no, I actually don't. Like we could make this episode even longer. And I don't know. I want this to be a space where you guys feel like we're just hanging out. And like when you hang out with your friends at a coffee shop or a bookstore or a sleepover, like y'all are just going to talk. Like, you're just going to talk about a whole lot of nothing and a whole lot of everything. And I hope that you guys get that from this podcast. So make sure you guys leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. That's how people find this episode and then, or just like all episodes. And you can leave a question or a comment over on the Q&A section on Spotify. And make sure you go over to the Love You Most Pod Instagram on Monday, or just any day, but Monday in particular, because on Monday I leave up the Q&A box where you guys can ask questions. And so I'll leave up the Q&A box this Monday, and that Monday, whenever you guys leave in your questions, I will answer the questions that same Friday. So you don't have to wait super long to like get your answers if you like have questions. So I love you most, more than anyone you know. Well, maybe not, but I love you a lot, and I hope you guys have a great day. Bye, guys.